Tammy Fitzgerald, you are executive director of the North Carolina Values Coalition. Can you tell me, for our listeners, what the mission of the North Carolina Values Coalition is?
The mission is to create a culture in North Carolina in which human life is valued, marriage and family flourish, and religious liberty thrives.
Okay, great. And you're a supporter of North Carolina's House Bill 2, of course, what we're here to talk about. And why do you support the law?
Well, we think it's a common sense law that just says no men can be in women's bathrooms. It was designed to reestablish what the Constitution already says about the power of local governments, which is that local governments only have that power delegated to them by the state. And Charlotte passed an ordinance that exceeded their authority under the Constitution by passing a sweeping law that impacted all public accommodations in Charlotte, including private businesses, churches, and schools. And so they did this without authority, and House Bill 2 simply reestablishes the fact that it is the state government that has that authority. And so the bottom line is that it brings back common sense to the state of North Carolina so that men cannot enter women's bathrooms, showers, or locker rooms.
Okay, and hundreds of people rallied in support of the bill yesterday at the state capitol. Were you happy with the turnout that that rally brought?
Yes, we think about 600 people were there yesterday, and we're going to have an even larger rally in 2 weeks when the General Assembly legislative session starts. We've had prayer vigils all over the state. We've had about 8 so far, and we have another one scheduled tonight in Greensboro.
Okay.
And there's a lot of support for this across the state. You know, a couple of polls were done. One poll showed that 66% of people in the state wanted the Charlotte bathroom ordinance repealed, and another one showed 69% wanted it repealed and wanted to reestablish common sense so that men can't go into women's bathrooms, showers, and locker rooms.
Now, I know a lot of people who are opposed to House Bill 2 are opposed to it because it goes beyond the bathroom measure. And maybe that poll that you just cited is the same one that I saw that also said that many people support cities and towns' rights to pass their own non-discrimination measures. So what do you say to that?
Well, it's not the same poll because
that poll
was a public policy polling poll that didn't ask the question correctly. It just asked if the state ought to be able to pass a bill that overrides a city ordinance. And there was no background given in that poll at all. In fact, the poll failed to mention that the Constitution of North Carolina, which was established in the 1700s, set our state up such that a city like Charlotte cannot pass an ordinance like Charlotte attempted to pass. And so the polling really has nothing to do with that issue. It's a constitutional issue. The polling, though, that I cited has to do with whether men ought to be able to go into women's bathrooms, showers, and locker rooms, and the majority of people, 70% of them, think they shouldn't.
So this bill was supposed to be about bathrooms, but the state legislature also initiated a statewide non-discrimination policy, and they excluded sexual orientation and gender identity from the people who would be protected. Why would they do that, and why would sexual preferences be on there as people excluded from discrimination protections?
Well, they're not excluded. It's just that they didn't include those categories in the statewide public accommodations law, and they weren't included in any laws in North Carolina prior to that, except for the Charlotte Ordinance, which never went into effect. In fact, those categories, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, do not appear anywhere in North Carolina law except in a statute that has to do with school bullying. So those are not categories that have been recognized by North Carolina or by any cities in North Carolina prior to the Charlotte Ordinance, and they're not categories that are recognized under federal law as categories that are due some special right, which is what they're seeking here. So they're seeking, the opponents are seeking special rights based on their sexual preferences. And we've never had that in North Carolina law. We've never had it in federal law. And so the law didn't change.
So essentially, if someone is gay and they are fired in North Carolina because they are gay, that's legal.
Well, look, I don't know of any cases where people have been fired because they're gay. No one has proved that there is any discrimination going on. And so when you want special elevated rights, which is the right to sue your employer, you have to show that there is a widespread discrimination going on. And it's just not happening here.
What about transgender people in this mix? You know, they feel like a very stigmatized group. The rates of suicide among transgender people is very high. Several transgender people got up during the debate over this legislation and said, you know, not only are we bullied in public and in public restrooms, we also feel bullied by the legislature right now. What do you say to that?
Well, look, I have a great deal of sympathy and empathy for people who are struggling with their gender identity. But the truth is, this group comprises 0.3% of the population, and it makes no sense at all to put the rest of the population at risk to accommodate 0.3% of the population. They can talk all they want to about elevated suicide rates, but there's been no correlation to bullying or anything like that with the elevated suicide rates. And so we're not advocating for bullying. We're not advocating for treating these people unequally. But the truth is, there's always in public policy a give and a take. And so are you going to give up the rights of 99.7% of the population to accommodate 0.3% of the population because they're struggling with some mental illness?
A mental illness? Is that how you would frame
That's
someone?
That's how the
with...
American Psychiatric Association classifies it.
All right, so more than 130 corporations have signed on to an open letter denouncing this law. PayPal has backed out of an expansion in Charlotte that cost Charlotte 400 jobs. The NBA is threatening to move its All-Star game from Charlotte. There was a canceled concert over the weekend. Bruce Springsteen canceled his show in Greensboro. And many cities and states are banning non-essential travel to North Carolina. Are you at all surprised by the backlash to HB2?
Well, look, this is not organic backlash. This is orchestrated by a national gay and lesbian rights group called the Human Rights Campaign. And for 20 years, they've been building their equality index where they rank corporations based on how they treat gay and lesbian people. So when House Bill 2 was passed, they pulled in the chains and they said to these corporations, you issue a statement against it or we're going to lower your equality rating. And so that's what these corporations have done, but they've been lied to by the Human Rights Campaign and Equality North Carolina, and they've been told things that are not true about House Bill 2. Now, what these corporations need to realize is that at some point they're going to have to explain to their shareholders and to their customers, 70% of them in North Carolina, why they are choosing to side with a registered sex offender who helped push this bill through the city council in Charlotte and with sending men into women's restaurants.
Are you saying that over 100 corporations do not understand House Bill 2?
I'm saying that, yes, absolutely.
Why do you assume that they don't understand the bill, that they have chosen to sign their signature to an open letter denouncing this law? Why would they do that without any knowledge of the bill?
Because the Human Rights Campaign has pursued presenting this to them as a bill that it's not. The bill is about reestablishing the constitutional authority of the state legislature in making rules that impact public accommodations. But it's also about making sure that men cannot go into women's bathrooms, showers, and locker rooms. So if these public corporations know what they're doing and they're signing on to that letter, then shame on them, because they are siding against the privacy and safety of 70% of their customers in North Carolina who don't want laws like that here.
If this bill was about public safety, why did the legislature ban cities and towns from adopting their own discrimination policies? Why did they stop cities and towns from raising their minimum wage? And why did they strip people the right from challenging terminations based on discriminations in state court?
Well, I think I've fully explained that already. They don't have the power. Cities and counties do not have the power under our state constitution to pass laws like that. This is a gross overreach of government power at the local level, and the legislature has reestablished what the Constitution already says.
Why do you say that the cities and towns don't have the power to do that?
We're a Dillon's Rule state in North Carolina. Dillon's Rule says that all power emanates from the state government. and the local governments only have the power and authority that is specifically delegated to them by the state. So the state has delegated some general police power to the cities, but that does not include the power to regulate public accommodations in the way that Charlotte did it.
Okay, why do people not have the right to challenge terminations based on discrimination in state court now?
Well, the truth is, and if you were a lawyer, you might know this, but most labor lawyers will tell you that all employment claims are already brought in federal court because they have more remedies in federal court, like attorney's fees. And so when these claims are brought, they're usually brought under federal law. So it doesn't keep people from filing claims in state court. They can still file a federal claim in state court because the state courts have jurisdiction to adjudicate federal rights as well. So that's the way the law practice goes in employment law.
Now, the statute of limitations for filing a federal claim is much shorter. The state claim had given them 3 years. Now it's down to 6 months. So that is a much shorter time frame.
They still have a remedy. They can file the claim in federal court, or they can file it in state court, as I already said, and take advantage of the 3-year statute of limitations and assert their federal law claims.
I see. Okay. So with this backlash that I've talked about, obviously it is hurting North Carolina's reputation. Regardless of how you feel about House Bill 2, there is no question that it's made North Carolina into sort of a punchline in late night TV. You know, does that matter?
I don't think so. There are lots of people who are applauding what North Carolina has done. A lot of governors, a lot of attorney generals across the country have written to Governor McCrory to thank him for his leadership and what he has done. And so maybe the circles you travel in is a punchline, but there are lots of people, and the majority of people in this country think what North Carolina is doing is the right thing to do. So it's not hurting the reputation of North Carolina. And I'll tell you what's happening is Mayor Roberts and Charlotte and the LGBT community is aiming this huge, vicious smear campaign against North Carolina, and they're hurting their own state.
Mayor Roberts didn't pass House Bill 2.
Mayor Roberts passed the Charlotte ordinance that precipitated the passage of House Bill 2. So if Mayor Roberts had done what she had been warned not to do, which is not to pass the Charlotte ordinance, we wouldn't be in this position. It's her fault. It's the Charlotte City Council's fault.
These corporations that I just told you about, 130 corporations, have signed against House Bill 2, not Charlotte's ordinance.
Well, look, we have almost 400 private businesses and companies who have signed a letter in favor of House Bill 2 and against the Charlotte ordinance. So, I mean, we can play the corporate game just as well as the human rights campaign. There are many more businesses in North Carolina that support the passage of House Bill 2.
We're talking about businesses like Bank of America, Facebook, Google, PayPal, huge, huge corporations now. These are some of the most prominent corporations that employ North Carolinians in Charlotte and in the Triangle and elsewhere.
As I stated earlier, these corporations are going to have to explain at some point to their customers and their shareholders, 70% of whom customers support the repeal of the Charlotte ordinance. They're going to have to explain why they're siding with a registered sex offender who helped get this law passed in Charlotte and with bullying the state of North Carolina.
Right, and I think that they have already spoken and come out in favor of which side they're on, and they have clearly come out against House Bill 2. Does that matter?
It doesn't matter to me, apparently. I keep arguing your kind of slanted questions. I mean, you keep arguing this point with me like you're, instead of being an interviewer, you're actually pressing a point here.
What I'm asking is, does our state's reputation, which is clearly taken a hit in the corporate world, matter in this argument?
Well, listen, there are many more corporations out there who have not made statements. I mean, 100 corporations is nothing in the sea of corporations in America. So there are many more who have not gotten involved wisely in this battle and who probably support this battle but aren't going public for fear they'll get badgered and bullied and targeted by the LGBT community.
So is it the LGBT community that is the bully in this scenario?
Well, there are some of them are bullying these corporations and the state of North Carolina. I don't know what else you could call it. It's not just bullying. It's total intimidation. It's a vicious smear campaign based on falsity.
I mean, essentially, they don't have much power, do they? I mean, the state legislature has wide power to do what they did. They have the numbers in the legislature. So they don't seem to be coming at this from a very powerful position. And yet you're framing them as sort of, I'm talking about the LGBT community.
These corporations, it is a scary day in America when a corporation can bully a state into adopting the public policy that the corporation wants or that a small minority group wants. And that's what they're attempting to do here. So they're attempting to disenfranchise the voters of North Carolina who have gone to the polls and elected all these state legislators and Governor McCrory and have spoken for the will of the majority of these people. According to the polling, 70% of them wanted House Bill 2 passed. So these corporations and this small minority group is attempting to bully the state of North Carolina to back down. And if they succeed, which I don't think they will, then it will be disenfranchising the voters in this state.
Governor McCrory and other lawmakers are going to be under a lot of pressure to amend the law. McCrory has said maybe he's open to some minor tweaks, I think is how he framed it. And some lawmakers have said they are open to some small changes. Are there any amendments to the law that you could be satisfied with?
None whatsoever.
What if the law is repealed altogether?
It will not be.
What about the backlash that we saw in Indiana as far as the religious freedom bill? Do you see that in any way parallel to this current situation?
Well, I think it's the same group of people that caused the backlash in Indiana that are now causing the backlash here. It's big out-of-state special interest groups, the Human Rights Campaign, big donors from New York. There's a big donor group in New York that's hired two Republican lobbyists here, and they're coming into North Carolina to bring their values from New York into our state. So that's the parallel. But in Indiana, it ended up that they didn't cause any kind of commercial disruption in the economy there. There was a net gain. And so I think ultimately they'll be unsuccessful.
All right. Well, Tammy, I think those are the questions I had. Is there anything else about this that you want to say?
No. That's it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.